Today's lectionary is a grim little reading. It starts off with Jesus sharing the news that Pilate, the Roman governor, had killed a bunch of people from Galilee. And then Jesus talks about a group of people who died when a tower collapsed on them. People died with little warning. That seems to be the only connection between these two events, except that both happened in Jerusalem. In one case, people died because of the violence of the Roman occupation. In the other case, people died apparently because of a random accident. Jesus uses these events to challenge the common assumption we humans often have about people who experience a disaster, that somehow they brought it on themselves. It's a natural reaction. It's a way that we distance ourselves from the randomness of death. It won't happen to us, we think, because we're not like those people. We won't make the mistakes that they made. Those who believe in an all-controlling God are tempted to believe that when things like that happen, God wanted it to happen. Jesus seems to challenge such notions with a couple of questions. Do you think that the Galileans were greater sinners than anyone else from Galilee? Do you think that the victims of the collapsed tower were worse than anybody else in Jerusalem? And then he answers the questions by saying, no, they weren't. And then Jesus calls on people to repent, to turn their lives around. Usually church people talk about individual sins. We confess those sins, seek God's forgiveness, and commit ourselves to doing better. But I think we've missed the point here. Repentance isn't about feeling bad and trying to be better. Repentance is about changing the direction of our lives and our communities. It's less about our individual spiritual life and more about our communal life. It's less about us and more about the people who have it much worse than us. The realm of God isn't a place where nice people try to be nicer while they continue to participate in a violent system of exploitation. It's about choosing a very different path to a very different system of human relationships. If this is the case, then Jesus' talk about Pilate's violence and the collapsing tower makes sense. If we're going with the flow of the dominant social order because we think it's the safe path, think again. Yes, it's true. People sometimes die trying to change things. But they also sometimes die while just standing around and doing nothing. So why not make our lives mean something by changing the direction of our lives and trying to change the direction of our community? And then Jesus tells a parable about a fruitless fig tree. The owner of the land wants to cut the tree down and make room for something that will produce fruit. But his gardener wants to wait, to fertilize the tree, to see if it produces fruit the following year. If not, then the tree can be cut down. We've already heard this metaphor about cutting down fruitless trees from John the Baptist earlier in Luke. It's not hard to see this as a threat. Change your ways or else. In these metaphors, we usually paint God as the axe-wielding tree assassin. But maybe this parable goes with the previous story. Choosing to go along with the flow isn't the safe path. It isn't even the neutral path. It's actually the path of destruction. The path of the domination system, the path taken by human civilization, is a path of violence, exploitation, and that eventually leads to destruction. Just because it's the path that's most familiar to us does not make it good or even safe. God isn't the axe-wielding tree assassin. The tree killer is the violent, inequitable order. Our own violence, will chop down that which doesn't produce the fruit of justice. Right now, Russia, under Vladimir Putin, is bombing the Ukraine, ostensibly because Putin wants to be an emperor. The people of Ukraine are suffering and dying. At the same time, the people in Russia have lost what little freedom of the press they possessed, as well as the freedom to disagree with Putin's policies. The people in Russia are also losing their life savings as the value of their possessions declines dramatically. And Russian soldiers are losing their lives. Putin's domination is causing misery in both nations. So why would anyone think that it's better to stand around and do nothing? God isn't going to swoop in and stay the axe. That's the point of today's scripture. If we don't go in a new direction, then the axe we've made, wielded by the system we've supported, will fall on us. In the season of Lent, we proclaim that it's not enough for us to try to be nice people. It's not enough to pray a little bit more or refrain from eating something we enjoy. It's beyond pointless to try to score points by being more politically correct than our neighbors. We're all in this together. When the tower of our social, political, and economic system collapses, it collapses on everyone. And it's very clear that the tower of our civilization will collapse, and not in that long a time. It'll collapse under the pressure of climate change and economic inequality. It will collapse unless something changes. Our hope is not found in individualistic attempts to be nicer or holier. Our hope is found in communities of people awakening and rising up to meet the profound nature of our calling with the commitment it deserves. There's no safety on the sidelines. There's no stability in the status quo. There's no hope in all the flag-waving, gun-toting, immigrant-hating rhetoric that fills the halls of power. There is no hope in maintaining the ways of the past. We need a new path, diametrically opposed to the path paved with fear and empty promises of our political and economic leaders. We need a path of real hope, a path that all can walk, a path free of fear, greed, and violence. On the news this morning, I heard a little girl, a refugee from Ukraine. She was asked what she wished for the children of the world. Blue skies, she said, and nothing to fear in those skies. Maybe the task is too great. Maybe the world won't change. Maybe the axe will fall. But we'll never know if the task is too great unless we try with all our strength, all of our creativity, and all of our love. Maybe the gardener who postpones the tree's death are the people who are doing all they can to change the way things are. And God is the spirit behind the hope that soon the fruit of justice and peace will touch the lives of those who so desperately need it. Life is short and precious. God has given us the ability to choose. We can stumble along doing the will of the pilots and the Putins of the world, believing that there is safety in the herd, safety in the flag, safety in the powerful. Or we can repent, which means to turn around. And we can show others how it's done. Through the grace of God, we have what the world so desperately needs: a hope, and the time and energy we possess in this short and fragile existence to bring that hope closer to reality. And that's good news. Amen.